Hi, I'm Jim Stroud. Welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge. The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
In the Recruiter's Lounge today with Steve Levy. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing well today, Jim. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. You are a noted HR celebrity, as I tend to refer.
Noted, I think, by three or four people in the world. The other folks are wondering, why the hell is he getting all this playtime, and why is Jim speaking to them?
Well, my question for you, I'm sort of inventing a new term out there, recruiting 2.0. We have Web 2.0, Business 2.0, so I figure why not Recruiting 2.0.
Well, particularly since, you know, Adler already has Hiring 2.0.
Exactly.
So we might as well, you know, coin up a new phrase that he hasn't used yet.
May as well. For Recruiting 2.0, I guess it's all going to center around innovation. What would you say are some innovative recruitment strategies that you've seen recently?
I actually was having coffee yesterday with Jerry Crispin. Believe it or not, Jerry and I get together occasionally here at a local Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Warner, are you listening? Perhaps you want to sponsor Recruiting 2.0. And we were talking about things that you know, Jerry ran into, people he ran into at ERE San Diego, and it struck us both at the same time that, particularly in HR, what goes around comes around. And things that are viewed as being innovative these days are things that have been used in other fields for years, or even, in fact, in recruiting for almost decades. It's just been repackaged with a new generation of people. I mean, for instance, Dr. John Sullivan recently wrote an article on ERE about some innovative ways to recruit at job fairs. You know, especially going out and recruiting recruiters from places like ERE. And people view this as something as magically innovative. But in fact, this has been done for years. It's just been taking place below the radar. I remember back in literally 1998, I was doing a turnaround with one of the more venerable names, brand names, Dictaphone, which really, from a brand standpoint, is well known as, say, a Kleenex or a Xerox or a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having shirts printed. I printed up shirts, bright white shirts with a big red square in the back that says "Work for Us." And I would go to the trade shows and walk around, not a care in the world, as a human billboard. And you know, people kind of look at me funny, much in the same way they do these days. You have to remember, back in those days, I had a full head of hair. And I would get a tremendous amount of play from doing these things that are purportedly innovative today. So really and that's just one example, but you know, the technology certainly has made recruiting both easier and more difficult. Jim, I'm sure you remember when before there was AIRS, you know, we were sourcing, you know, we were x-raying, we were flipping, we were peeling.
Sure.
All that stuff away before the terms were coined, and you know, we didn't make a whole lot of money on any of those techniques, but it was repackaged quite brilliantly by AIRS, amongst other people, and it all of a sudden became innovative. So there are many things that are viewed as being innovative today, but it really is just repackaging of things that have always been there.
I remember with I'll call it Web 1.0. There were a lot of dot-coms popping up all over the place, and one of them that I remember was this a startup called Den Entertainment, stands for Dynamic Entertainment Network. Mm-hmm. And they would produce 15-minute shows for teenagers and different demographics and so forth.
Sure.
Well, bubble burst and they went under. I thought it was a good idea when I first saw it, but there weren't enough people with broadband.
Yeah.
So if they tried it again, it might be successful.
Yeah, again, in the cases of technology,
mm-hmm.
you have, you know, limited rollout of core infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And certainly, it's becoming, you know, it's becoming significantly cheaper to get, you know, the core infrastructure into the hands of people who can take advantage of all the good tools and stuff that are out there. So, you know, there's a time frame on everything before it becomes adopted by the masses.
So do you think that because of mass adoption that slows down innovation in, say, technology? Do we have to, like with the case of Dyn, their timing was just, they were ahead of their time. They should have waited till around now, and they probably could have relaunched and done a lot of great things.
I think you're hitting on what innovation is to many people. Innovation is just something that's forward-thinking.
Mm-hmm.
How it's, the implementation is not necessarily the same as innovation. And, there's much technology that wows people, but it has a limited market. And Dyn, as I think you duly noted, if it came out today, in fact, digital, is a website in which you can make your own little digital films,
mm-hmm.
short films, and I've seen people use it for a whole variety of interesting applications. Sounds like somewhat similar to what Dyn could have been.
Mm-hmm.
If the infrastructure had been available. But, you know, this talk about innovation is probably boring your listeners to
tease. Well, let me try to perk them up a little bit. You ever see this site called Go Army? It's this recruiting site for the Army?
I am actually very well familiar with them. What I've been doing for quite a few years is supporting my local armed forces recruiting station. I'm what they call a circle of influence.
Hmm.
Which means I get Army keychains, cups, and I get to go to rodeos for free.
Ah, cool.
But it's really exciting. Actually, it is. Those who middle America who like rodeos, actually, they are kind of fun.
Now, when I look at the Go Army site, I know that Jerry Crispin admires it quite a bit.
Yeah, he calls it is a Jerry Crispin, Mark Miller 5 out of 5 site. Jerry calls it is the best implementation of a recruiting website around. There's Go Army, and then there's every place else.
What do you think? What are they doing right, in your opinion?
Oh gosh, they're doing many things right. And first and foremost is they know who their audience is.
And, okay.
And they also, well, they know they not only do they know who their that their audiences are people who they want to recruit into the Army, but they understand that their audience also includes these potential soldiers' parents. And other people of influence. It's modeled heavily on a video game.
Mm-hmm.
It has that look and feel to it. They correctly come across the belief that anyone who comes to the website, being recruited into the Army is a little more serious than, say, being recruited to a Microsoft, for example. Not that you or Shally or Glenn or any other of the fine people there think it's any less important. But they understand that they may only have a few seconds, a few minutes to capture a person who's on their site. So one of the innovations that the Army has implemented into their Go Army site is the ability to talk to a recruiter directly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not at the site now, so I'm going a bit on memory. But I do know that... On the left-hand side of the site, it gives the person entering the site the ability to speak to a recruiter, meaning I believe the Army monitors the cookies. So when they see that somebody is at a certain part, at a certain place in the site, a window can pop up. Essentially, it's a, hi, I'm your Armed Forces recruiter. I understand you're looking at, Army positions in some Ranger positions. I can talk to you about that if you have any questions. So
sure.
this real life, real time, having a few seconds to capture somebody is being implemented quite well, and I think that's something that more companies probably will implement in the very near future.
When I see things like that, I always immediately think about technology companies or game developer companies, things like that, doing that kind of out-of-the-box thing.
But think about it. Think of any company, any
mm-hmm.
industry that has a, it's challenging for them to find the right people who stick. You know, let's take, maybe it's a bad example, take customer service. Customer service people, really good customer service people are not a dime a dozen. They're difficult to find, and, but they do make a tremendous impact on the company. So, you know, any service company, if they see a certain type of person, a certain person browsing a certain part of their website, may want to seriously consider about trying to capture them right then and there, realizing that they only have a short period of time to make that initial impact.
But are certain positions like, do certain positions not lend themselves to that kind of innovation, I guess? Like, when I look at, like, the GoArmy site, or like some of the things Microsoft is doing, attracting game developers and so forth, and I see a lot of cutting-edge technology, and I see it really grabbing them and catching them. And then I think about, I don't know, accountants and recruiting financial-type folks. Could that kind of flashy thing, that doesn't typically fit that culture, I think. So would that, could I even do some kind of razzle-dazzle for that demographic when typically they don't even respond to that kind of thing?
Well,
that makes sense?
Yeah, again, it makes sense. My only response to that is, well, why not? Change your model.
Mm-hmm.
There's a commercial that's been running around for a long time. You have some folks in a boardroom, and you have this, this man in a drab colored suit saying, "Folks, we're going to make accounts payable exciting again." You have one person on the screen playing with a pencil and making faces, and next thing you know, he's probably out of a job. But you know, there's always picture's not a right word, but you're attracting a certain kind of person, and all your work is based upon a certain paradigm of what the person, the attributes of the person who you're trying to attract. I know quite a few folks who are CFOs, accountants, tax specialists, and they're not boring. The work may be tedious, but that's the nature of the work, not a function of the person doing it. So I don't see why you couldn't, you know, a Big Four company, you know, looking for tax people or Starbucks people or treasury people, why they couldn't use a similar type technology to rebrand the company, rebrand the function, and rebrand the company. I just think it might set them apart from others.
Who internally do you think will lead innovation for this kind of thing? I think about HR, and traditionally, my experience is they've been sort of resistant to new changes, and I've heard, or rather I've talked with other recruiters, particularly contract recruiters, who enter into an assignment and they want to introduce a new widget or some sort of new process, and the powers that be say, no, we've always done it this way. And the things I hear is that, well, they've done it anyway. They just do it under the radar, more or less, as long as the results are there. They don't have to worry about permission. So do you see the innovation, I guess from an internal perspective, as something the recruiters will have to push into this, or will we have to just hit HR over the head of a club, or will it take a visionary CEO?
Well, I think a couple of ways I can answer that. First, you mentioned something earlier I want to bring up, make a small little statement.
Sure.
You know, it's always easier, and this is very ubiquitous, it's always easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission, particularly if you get some results. So,
sure.
You're always going to have the doubting Thomases, the folks who, again, believe we've always done it this way, and there's no reason to change. And my response is, well, I guess there's no reason to improve then, is there? And that sort of gets them looking, giving that tilted Cocker Spaniel kind of look.
That's a good one. I'm going to have to use that one day.
But there's the real issue there is understanding what you're doing this for. I mean, ultimately, I mean, what is recruiting about? It's about helping a company become more competitive while at the same time helping people grow from one position to the next. You know, I've always been a believer, and there are times where I've had them underneath me. I've had recruiting and organization development as a cohesive unit.
Mm-hmm.
That way you get to attract and retain and develop at the same time. It really is a life cycle model here. But in terms of who's going to lead innovation, everyone leads innovation. I'm trying to remember many, many years ago when I think I did my master's thesis on innovation in organizations, believe it or not. And, you know, innovation doesn't come from one spot. It can be seeded. Much like, you know, when you, you know, if you, you know, planting a field, if you only put seeds in a certain spot, going to get fruit and crop in a certain spot. You do need to spread it out. You always need enablers. An enabler may not be the brightest bulb in the porch. An enabler may be a person who is smart enough to know to plant a seed and then get out of the way. Obviously, the CEO of a company, the CEO of a function, of a group, has to have the ability to, again, if not see into the future, or at least believe in the possibilities and believe in the words and take some chances on people.
Mm-hmm.
HR, I wish HR were more innovative. Obviously, if you talk to people in charge of SHRM, they'll say that HR is becoming more innovative. I've been pretty vocal in my, I guess disgust is too strong of a word, but let's go with it right now. There are maybe 20 EMA chapters,
mm-hmm.
Employment Management Association, well over 500 SHRM chapters,
mm-hmm.
and most of those EMA chapters are suboptimally functioning.
Mm.
Does HR really drive innovation? Well, HR doesn't believe, in my opinion, doesn't really believe as in recruiting as much as they should. They certainly spend more of their energies focusing on, and perhaps rightly so, on some of the legislative issues, how it impacts compensation and benefits, than they do on recruiting-related issues. But in all, innovation comes from everybody who touches it, and it's up to the people who have the vision to spend the time educating others about the possibilities, rather than getting frustrated walking away when something doesn't happen the way they believe it should.
Steve Levy, discussing Recruiting 2.0. Thank you for your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
Jim, you're very welcome. Feel free to use me, abuse me, call me, quote me.
I hope you do that.
At your leisure. Thank you, Jim.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.